Welcome to Health Styles. I'm Diana Mason, one of the producers of this program that's brought to you by the Center for Health, Media, and Policy at Hunter College. On August 12th, Health and Hospitals Corporation closed the labor and delivery service of North Central Bronx Hospital, saying that pregnant women could now use the service at Jacoby Medical Center. But Jacoby already has an overstretched labor and delivery service, raising concerns about women's access to safe and respectful maternity care in the Bronx. The North Central Bronx Labor and Delivery Service had been a national model of excellence in maternity care provided by nurse midwives. In 2002, the program received the American College of Nurse Midwives Award called With Women for a Lifetime for innovative and compassionate midwifery care practices. But beginning in 2009, this successful model had been undermined. As services were dramatically cut back, midwives were laid off, and the midwifery model of continuity of care was completely disrupted. According to Choices in Childbirth, this resulted in a 90% increase in cesarean sections between 2008, when North Central Bronx had the lowest rate in the city at 15.9%, and 2012, when the rate had doubled to 30%. The benchmark set by the World Health Organization is 15%. As a nation, the United States outspends other nations on maternity care, largely because of this high cesarean section rate and the cost of delivering in hospitals rather than childbirthing centers. And it continues to perform poorly in the ranking of developed nations on outcomes such as maternal mortality and infant mortality. Overwhelming evidence supports a midwifery model of care as the way to achieve excellent clinical outcomes while reducing the cost of maternity care. So why isn't the city and the nation moving in this direction? Here to talk with us about this issue are two guests who have been involved in a campaign to bring back North Central Bronx's maternity service and to build evidence-based childbirthing options in the city and nation. Ilan McAllister is the founder and executive director of Choices in Childbirth, a nonprofit organization that is a national leader in consumer advocacy and outreach for women and their families. Ilan, thank you so much for joining us on Health Styles today.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
And Nan Strauss is an independent researcher and consultant on maternal health issues, and formerly with Amnesty International USA, where she authored the 2010 report, Deadly Delivery, the Maternal Healthcare Crisis in the USA. Nan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Ilan, let me start with you by asking you to briefly describe to listeners what has happened at North Central Bronx and why Health and Hospital Corporation decided to close the labor and delivery service there.
Well, Diana, you did a wonderful job of describing the history of NCB and the beautiful model of care that they provided over 36 years of practice. And as you mentioned, in 2009, that was disrupted. New leadership came in at that time, and the chair of the department oversees both NCB and Jacoby, which are sister hospitals that are run by the city up in the Bronx. And along with disrupting the midwifery care at NCB and causing the higher C-section rates and the disruption of continuity of care, this the leadership also is attributed with having caused a rather shocking exodus of senior providers from the Jacoby Medical Center. So for the last couple of years, the staff at Jacoby has been voicing concerns over understaffing issues as well as a lack of senior providers. And it's important to know that Jacoby is a regional perinatal center, which means that they have a NICU unit, you know, for the most at-risk babies, and this is the place where you take the highest risk women in the area.
It's neonatal, so, neonatal intensive care unit, the NICU.
Right. Yeah, thank you. So, you know, having a drain of senior providers is a really dangerous situation for a hospital center that is going to be seeing some of the most complicated presentations.
And Alana, I'm sorry, are those senior providers both midwives and obstetricians?
That was mostly obstetricians. Mm. You know, mostly obstetricians that they were losing, the senior level providers. And also about a year ago, just over a year ago, they lost their residency program.
Oh.
So they were really impacted very strongly by both of these factors, and it left them with a huge gap in care. And for the last year, the doctors have been really complaining, and the midwives and the nurses, about these understaffing issues and the impact on safety. This time last year, that leadership was let go, and since then there have been two interim leaders, and the whole program for both hospitals has been really shaky over that time. They've been unable to attract senior level providers, and you know, there is still this really intense issue of understaffing, and they've had some really negative outcomes over that time, as you can imagine, which has been of great, great concern to the staff. So the closing of the NCB program was described as HHC's emergency action to address what they considered to be a safety issue over at Jacoby. So what they did, rather than bringing in the solid leadership, bringing in, you know, senior level providers and addressing the problem at Jacoby head on, instead they closed down NCB and brought all of their providers over to Jacoby.
And are they bringing those providers in with the understanding that there will be a midwifery model of continuity of care?
You know, there have been midwives at Jacoby for years that have, you know, provided fantastic service. There is not, we've been, you know, really petitioning for them to, you know, be aware of what they have dismantled at NCB and to do their best to bring it to Jacoby and to continue that model of care there. But honestly, right now, the greatest concern is the big gap in access to services right now that exists for the women in North Central Bronx area. You know, they're now expected to travel to Jacoby, which is, for most of them, around a 4-mile, you know, transfer. And by public transportation, it's about a 50-minute subway ride. And for most of these women, they're not able to afford a car service. So, you know, the ambulances are being told to redirect to Jacoby. But this is a real, you know, a real concern around access in this neighborhood. And we've already heard of a number of situations that have been potentially dangerous, you know, because of the transfer to Jacoby from NCB. So
go ahead.
You know, so right now, really, the concern is about access and about, you know, what the plan is to bring some sort of maternity care coverage to this whole area, this very at-risk area of the Bronx. And, you know, certainly we will focus on making sure that midwifery model of care is you know, supported at Jacoby. And also, at the same time, right now we're dealing with serious overcrowding at Jacoby. Mm-hmm. So there's the, you know, the logistics of this closure that are still being worked out, where we think that new safety issues has been brought up that will now need to be addressed.
So, Ilan McAllister, the closure of the North Central Bronx Labor and Delivery Service follows on the heels of the corporation's decision to close Bellevue's childbirthing center, which my understanding is that it was the only one in the city that was still accepting Medicaid, and the closure of the New York Presbyterian Hospital's midwifery program, and closure of Elizabeth Seton Hall Childbirthing Center before St. Vincent's Hospital closed. Given that the evidence supports midwifery care and childbirthing centers, why is New York City heading in what appears to be the opposite direction it should take to improve maternal child outcomes and reduce costs?
It's an excellent question. all of the steps that they're taking go completely against evidence and really against common sense. It's incredibly frustrating. I think that we're, you know, caught in this moment of, you know, corporate takeovers of the medical system, and there isn't, I think, in any of the leadership, an understanding and a true recognition of the value of midwife-led care. What we're seeing more often than not is that midwives are being brought into hospital systems as medical extenders. Mm-hmm. You know, they're being seen as an extra pair of hands, you know, and rather than a recognition of the value of the model of care in and of itself, there's just this blanket assumption that the more, you know, technology, the more, you know, the higher the level of medical care you provide, the safer the situation is and the better the outcomes, and that simply isn't true. But I think it's really counterintuitive. You know, this is one of the only areas of medicine where it is true that the overuse of technology, or the strong use of technology, where more isn't better, and that's really counterintuitive. I think also our system, especially in New York City, is really driven by fear of litigation, and we do see that our juries have given out very high awards for poor birth outcomes. And I think that many of these decisions around the type of care that's being provided is being made by the risk evaluation departments of hospitals and hospital systems. And to an uninformed jury, you know, showing that you use the highest level of medical care in a situation, that you did, you know, a C-section early on, that you did all of these things, to an uninformed jury, it looks like you took all the steps that you should have. But they're not necessarily going to understand that many of those interventions that were performed early on potentially caused the emergency situation that the mom and baby then had to be saved from, and that had a midwife's model of care, of one-on-one interaction, of only using medical interventions when really necessary, that all of, you know, this approach to birth actually has better outcomes, and that, you know, these situations often would not have come up. But it's very counterintuitive, you know. So I think there are a number of factors, and we're kind of caught up in this corporatization of medicine and of hospitals right now that make it really difficult to, to introduce something like midwifery that goes so against what a sort of, you know, basic understanding of how things work looks like.
And that is Elan McAllister, the founder and executive director of Choices in Childbirth, a nonprofit organization that looks at advocating and outreaching to women and their families. I'm Diana Mason, one of the producers of Health Styles, and we're talking today about the closing of North Central Bronx and the direction the city and the nation are moving in terms of midwifery services. And so now let me turn to Nan Strauss, who is an independent researcher and consultant on maternal health issues, and ask you, Nan, about the national trend that's going on. So in New York City, we're seeing movement that is not in the direction that evidence says we need to go in terms of building maternity services that are respectful, that are accessible, that are safe, high quality, and that are affordable and control healthcare costs. So what's happening nationally? Are we out of sync with the nation, or is the whole nation struggling with this direction?
Unfortunately, I think that this is a perfect example of the issues that you see all across the United States. At this time, the most recent international statistics place the U.S. 46th in the world in terms of maternal mortality, which is a good way of assessing how the healthcare system overall, and specifically how the maternal healthcare system is functioning. And what you see here in the U.S., as
is that we spend the most money of any country in the world on maternity care, and yet we are not getting the return on that investment that we should. And this issue really flies under the radar, despite the fact that it's 4 million women every year who are giving birth. It's nearly a quarter of all hospitalizations, making it the most common reason for hospitalization of any in this country, and it's also the most costly. Right now, hospital charges for childbirth have risen to $111 billion every year. Now, on top of those overall troubling outcomes, the disparities are dramatic and truly appalling. I mean, we see that low-income women are at twice the risk of maternal death, and we see that women of color, particularly African-American women, face 3 to 4 times the risk of white women. And these signal a number of problems that are affecting the maternity care system system-wide and across the country. Women face challenges accessing care. The quality of care that women receive is very uneven from state to state, from hospital to hospital, and even amongst providers in the same facility. You see, as you've seen in New York, a lack of community participation in making some of these decisions about what options of care should be available and where facilities should be located to serve communities. And you see these really dramatic shortages and closures. So across the country, 57 million people live in healthcare provider shortage areas. And the way that that affects maternity care in particular is right now, half the counties in the country have no obstetricians. Now, that alone wouldn't be so troubling if there were other healthcare providers who were taking on that role as they do in other countries. So in Europe, for instance, midwives are generally the first line of care providers for maternity care, just as the World Health Organization recommends. But here in the U.S., we have the lowest number of midwives for the population. And likewise, family practice physicians who used to deliver a significant percentage of babies are now only 10% of family practice physicians have continued to deliver babies.
And my understanding is that one of the reasons they're no longer delivering babies is because some of their obstetrician colleagues have blocked them from doing so. It becomes a turf issue rather than what is a community and what do women need.
Unfortunately, I think that that's true. In conducting interviews nationwide, I heard over and over again about the barriers that obstruct midwives from practicing at all or from practicing to the full scope of their training. And so there's this tension that you were identifying before where there's a lot of good evidence that the midwifery model of care serves women very well while doing so at a lower cost. And yet, there have been so many barriers obstructed preventing midwives from practicing, from hospitals that make credentialing processes for midwives nearly impossible, hospitals that don't allow midwives to be credentialed at all, states that put in place bureaucratic restrictions that block midwives from practicing without actually improving anyone's health or safety, and it's resulting in an exacerbation of these shortages where women really lose out not only on choosing the care options that are the best for them, that meet their needs, but sometimes in having any accessible provider at all.
So what do we need to do to change this situation? How do we get the attention of policymakers and in this case also healthcare top executive healthcare administrators to understand that redesigning maternity services in the way the evidence suggests will lead to improved outcomes and will save somebody money. Now, I have to interject that when Bellevue closed its childbirthing center, I spoke with a member of the board of trustees of the Health and Hospital Corporation. I said, why would you close a childbirthing center since there is so much evidence that it saves money? And she said, it doesn't save us money, it saves Medicaid money. So from my perspective, one of the issues we have to address is payment. But I'm quite interested in your thoughts on what we need to do to reverse this situation. And both Ilan McAllister and Nan Strauss, if you'd weigh in on this. Nan, do you want to start?
Sure. I think that you are really hitting the nail on the head, that there has to be a push from payers in order to move towards a system that both protects women's health, maintains their health, and keeps costs in check. And it's amazing because this area of healthcare is one where those two goals are very well aligned. That may not be true in, say, transplant surgery, but in maternal care, you see with birth centers, with the midwifery model of care, and other initiatives, for instance, having doulas attend birth alongside the medical providers, that some of these, that avoiding some of the unnecessary interventions that add to the cost of the procedures also keep women healthy while they're keeping costs down. And I think there are very promising developments. Right now, Medicaid is reviewing how to improve quality specifically in maternity care. And because Medicaid pays for 40% of all births in this country, that's going to have potentially a very important impact. And there has been a real push toward ensuring that attention is provided to safe, healthy childbirth practices, given its the very significant role it plays in hospital care and in the cost. So I think it is finally getting more of the attention that it needs. There's been a lot of legislation introduced at the federal level. Hopefully we will see over time some of that move forward. And at a national level, the Maternal Child Health Bureau of the Health Resources and Services Administration is taking very seriously the need to establish a national maternal health strategy. And hopefully that's going to help put this on the radar and get the collaboration among different agencies and stakeholders to really move forward on this issue.
And we're almost out of time, so I'm going to ask, give Ilan McAllister the last word in terms of, Ilan, what do you think is going to improve the situation in New York City?
Well, I think that we are starting to see some of these shifts happen in New York as well. For me, one of the most exciting pieces is that we're seeing the consumers starting to ask for something different. We're seeing more and more women who are choosing to have doulas at their births. We're seeing a 70% increase over the last 5 years of women who are choosing to birth at home. And, you know, a significant number of those women are saying it's because they will not go to the hospital the way that the hospitals are set up right now. So for me, I think, you know, an exciting part of this trend towards change is that the women are starting to ask for it. And I think in the end, that will prove to be very powerful.
And you might want to share with listeners how to access Childbirth Choices in Childbirth's website. Do you want to give that website address?
Yes, it's www.choicesinchildbirth.org. You can also sign on to the petition to reopen services at North Central Bronx from our website there.
So again, it's www.choicesinchildbirth.org. We've been talking with Ilan McAllister, who's the founder and executive director of Choices in Childbirth, and Nan Strauss, an independent researcher and consultant on maternal health issues. Ilan and Nan, thank you so much for joining us on Health Styles today.
Thank you.
I want to thank our listeners for tuning in. I hope that you will continue this discussion with your friends and colleagues. And for those of you who care about maternity care, get involved. Look at that website, www.choicesinchildbirth.org, and look at how you can be part of a consumer movement to call for the city and the nation to do the right thing. I'm Diana Mason, one of the producers of Health Styles. Health Styles is brought to you by the Center for Health, Media, and Policy at Hunter College, City University of New York. You can follow us online at www.centerforhealthmediapolicy.com. That's centerforhealthmediaandpolicy.com. Thanks for listening.